Well, as you know, I have a little facial pain, but I've been there and done that before. So let's see how it works out. Otherwise, I was going to have different people come out and share some testimony. So along the way, if it gets too hard, then I'll let you come up. Okay. I really want to share this message. That's why I'm up here. I don't want to skip this message. And let's see. I think Ed is in contraction. Maybe Ed is not in contraction. Becky is in contraction. So I got a text 7 o'clock in the morning. Her contraction is 5 to 10 minutes. So by the way, I'm wearing this so that you don't have to see my pain. And so pray for them. And hey, who knows, the child may be out already. And let's see, Hanson. Is your test coming? 2 weeks. So, oh, I said it was nearby. So, oh, you could pray for Hanson too. So, but anyway, I was looking forward to giving this message because it's a favorite passage of mine. It's about Jesus commanding Peter to go catch a fish. And the fish's mouth, there's a coin. Oh my goodness. Amazing. So I apply this in a particular way, but I'll tell you how. By the way, the message might be short today. So, less God gives me strength. The title of the message, actually, of this passage should be Jesus is the Son of God. That's not my title. Should be. Because the context of the passage is about some tax collectors came and asked the disciples, does your teacher pay the tax? And the disciples said yes. Then the when they got into the house, Jesus asked, those tax collectors, do they collect tax from sons or strangers? And the disciples said, strangers, you're right, because sons are exempt from tax collecting. So this tax is for the upkeeping of the temple, and so it's the Father's house. So Jesus is who? The Son. So Jesus is exempt. But he says, lest they have problem with him, let's pay the tax. And then he has Peter do something to go find the money that could pay the tax. So actually, it's revealing here Jesus is the Son of God, Son of the Father. So he's revealing himself as the Son of the Father. And so this is probably the message. But also, it seems like on the side, but pretty major. is Jesus is the faithful and miraculous provider. Jesus is the faithful and miraculous provider. We know that He faithfully provides. But sometimes He provides miraculously. Not always. Typically, He just provides, maybe through your paycheck or through somebody's help. But once in a while, He provides miraculously. And this is one of those cases. How many of you need some provision? You need some provision. Well, Jesus is the faithful and miraculous provider. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Feeding of the 4,000? What was that? Miraculous. So He generally provides faithfully. But once in a while, He does it miraculously. Amen? And so the message is more about how He does that. How He does that. So the way He did it was He just said, Peter, go to the sea. Throw in a line. And the first fish you catch, you open his mouth. There's your coin. Yeah, there's your coin. What? First fish? Coin? Oh, that's kind of strange. Hey, should we talk to Judas? Judas is the, who is it? He's the one who handles the money. So He didn't want to go the typical way. He wanted to do it miraculously. So I got 4 points that describes how He does it. First is, He has a perfect plan of provision for me. He has a perfect plan of provision that I do not know about. This is one of those, you will never count with it in 1,000 years. You know the expression? You'll never count with this in 1,000 years. Okay, how can Jesus provide this one? Not using the money back. And, but He had a plan. Peter did not know. Maybe Judas was not, I don't think Jesus was with him. And didn't have any money. So, how would Jesus do it? Peter didn't know, but Jesus knew. We don't know, but Jesus knows. As you said, you need provision. Do you know how Jesus is going to provide? Well, I guess you can guess. I need a job. I need this. I need that. Typical way. I need to pass the test. You know, I need to get a certain grade. He wants to provide. And it could be that, or it could be somewhere else, something else. So Jesus has a plan that we do not know about. The hustle of thinking we have is about this much. What is your peripheral? This is how much I see. But you don't see what's in the back. God sees everything. Can I get a tissue somewhere? God sees everything. So even if I do not know how things will be provided, and it may be even the things I want, or maybe it may be things I'm not thinking of. Does that make sense? We want certain things, but his provision may even be something else. But he has a provision. What we need. What we really need. And it's an amazing plan. So he is the faithful and miraculous provider. First thing we need to believe is that he has a plan. A perfect plan of provision that I do not know about. Second is, he sovereignly knows what I need and where it is. He knows where it is. He knows what I need and where it is. But Jesus and Peter needed a coin. It says 2 drachma for each person. So 4 drachma is about 2 days' wage. They said a talent could cover it. A talent, a coin. And so to cover 4 talents, no, 4 drachma, which is 1 talent. He said, go to the sea and throw a line in and see which fish catches. And in the mouth of that fish is a talent. What does it mean? That means he knew the sea and all the fish. So he knows even all the fish in the sea. He knows the stars by names. He knows the fish even by name. He knew all the fish that was in the sea. He saw her. The thing is, he knew one of the fish had a coin. Oh my goodness. Do you guys know there's a fish with a coin in the sea? No, nobody would know that. Jesus knew. How did that happen? A fisherman is fishing. Maybe he dropped the coin. And a fish swallows it. So this fish, he can't cough it out. So he's just roaming around the sea with a coin in his mouth. I mean, there's some options. If Jesus wanted to provide a coin, he could have gone behind Peter's ear and say, oh, here's a coin. He could have created. He's a creator, right? Or when Peter threw the line, the fish didn't have a coin as well, but the moment he caught the fish, Jesus said, oh, let there be a coin. He created the coin right at the moment he caught it. I don't think that's the options. He didn't create the moment that the fish got caught. There was a fish with a coin in the sea. There was a fish with the coin in the sea, and Jesus knew it. He knew what they needed, and he knew which fish had it. That means Jesus knows where are the resources. You need something. He knows where that is. And he knows the person who has it too. You know, if you want to apply this to finding a mate, you need a mate, don't you? You need a lifetime partner, don't you? Where is my lifetime partner? Well, there's a girl with a coin in her mouth. There's a guy with a coin in her mouth, his mouth. You need to be careful, though, when to throw in the line. You might catch the wrong one. So Jesus knows where this resource is that you need. And he knows all the possibilities, all the possibilities. Jesus has a plan. He knows where it is. But you know what else he's able to do? He knows that fish with the coin. Guess what happened? When Peter threw in the line, you know what he did? He said, you other fish, stay away, stay away. You fish with the coin, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Bite this hook, bite this hook. Jesus is able to keep other fish away until that fish with the coin come and bite the hook. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He's sovereignly able to bring it to me. He's sovereignly able to keep other fish away until that fish with the coin comes and bites. Does that make sense? So not only does he have a plan, he knows where it is. He's able to keep everybody's. There's a job over there. There's a job. All right, everybody, stay away until you get it. I told you one of my favorite answered prayer was Kaushik. He needed a PhD program way before he even applied. God removed the guy from a PhD program with the same research. The reason was he found a job. God gave him a job. And he quit PhD program. Suddenly, the professor needed a guy to take over. Only person is Kaushik was there. Kaushik was doing a kind of an intern. So Kaushik was given opportunity to take the project. And admitted to PhD a year early. So that was an answer to prayer because there's two people who prayed, me and Kaushik. Nobody else knew about his situation. Kaushik and me, we prayed, and God provided that PhD a year early. All right, removing one guy so he could be that person. So, guys, there's not only a job or financial need, but a God's control to if you are waiting on God, and there's a person who is for you, God could keep everybody away, keep everybody away, until you, when the time comes to throw the line, that person is reserved for you. You know, when you like someone, guys like girls or girls like guys, you know what they like to do? They like to broadcast, hey, I like that person. I like that person. I'm praying about that person. So everybody will know that you like that person. What is that called? Korean is called chumtugnego. It's like, I claim this person. And so you are like, you guys seen that before? Girls like to say, I am praying about this brother. Let all the girls know. And then all the girls, oh, she's praying for that guy, so we can't even pray about it. So this is a way to kind of like keep everybody away. Is that God's way or your way? It's your way. But when you like a person and, you know, God didn't say you should throw the line in yet. But then you worry about, if I don't throw the line in, some other guy may take her. Some other brother may, you know, take her. Or some other sister might take him. It's kind of a nervousness. So we take it into our own hand and say, I claim this person. So everybody stay away. It's kind of a human way. But if you keep silent and trust God, God, if that person is for me, then you will be able to keep other people away and provide a person for me. Does it make sense? No? That's the way of faith. Not taking it into your own hand. Way of faith. Is you're not doing anything, but God is doing everything. You're not taking into your own hand to make sure it happens, but God is the one who makes it happen. You know the Cinderella story? You know, the mother really wants her less beautiful two daughters to have the prince. But the prince later on meets Cinderella somewhere, falls in love with her, and she leaves a little, what is it? A shoe. And he falls in love with her, and she's looking all over the kingdom for the person who fits into the shoe. So, what God ordained to happen will happen. God wills. And, but we need to believe. God is sovereign. He knows everyone. Who is the person for me? And then we need to believe God is able to bring them across my path. Well, I meant this illustration for previous point. But God did give me a miraculous provision financially, because when I was living with, I think I mentioned this before, living with the brothers for 10 years in a Westmoreland apartment, three blocks from here. I had a house here, but I went out and lived with the brothers, paying for rent, because I believed in the training apartment. 1 month, my paycheck was very low. And there's no money after deduction, I get 17 cents. Get a yellow paycheck for 17 cents. I got one of those. Oh, I guess this month, about $500 goes into deduction, and we got 17 cents. I didn't have enough money to pay for rent and all the bills. And so I was kind of laughing. Ah, I know God's going to provide. And I'm not going to ask my dad. There's always a temptation. I'm not going to ask my dad. And I know God's going to provide. Then one day, in that week sometimes, I was going through my files of report, financial report from the headquarters. I was looking for an address. I was opening the envelope one by one. And then I found a yellow check that was $600-something. Oh, you mean to say I forgot to cash this check? $600-something? Wow, that's great. I needed about $1,100. And so then I got excited. Whoa. I got some more envelopes to open. Maybe there's some other checks that I didn't check cash. So I started opening up all the other envelopes. I found a green check. That's a ministry reimbursement check. And that was about $400-something. Together, it passed $1,100-something. And I said, whoa. God provides. He made me forget these checks so that I could use it for this month. To me, that was a miracle. My fumbling, you know, I'm not very sharp with administration, paper administration, not at all. I'm pretty good with organizing, doing VSET administration, the big things. I'm not good at paper administration. Recently, my sister came and paid all the things that I need to pay. And so that was an amazing provision. God does these miraculous provision. And God generally are faithful to provide in a common way, not necessarily miraculous way. You know, he provides for you commonly. But once in a while, he does these miraculous provisions. So ask for common provision and ask for miraculous provision. That God knows so many more ways than I know. I'm limited in my view. But God has so much more ways. Yeah, so my cousin, Mary, she was working with me as a women's leader in the earlier years. And we had a lot of older sisters, like she was about 33. There was other sisters who were 30, 32, 31. I had about four or five sisters in our ministry who were kind of getting old. And of course, I couldn't marry all of them. No, so we just need to hope for somebody to come. And, you know, we had mostly older women. We didn't have older guys. They all got married and went off. And one day, Mary gets a call from one of her friends about this guy who's really godly. And later on, we found out he's pretty godly. He's 33, too. They started dating over the phone, and then they got married. Now they have about 3 kids. And they're both serving. The guy is an elder of a church. And Mary's discipling girls still. Discipling girls still. That's amazing. I see that was as she trusted God. She's the one who said, "Brother, I'm not waiting for a man. I'm just going to serve the Lord." She's getting older and older. And the girls, when they get late 20s, they start getting like nervous. "Oh, am I going to get married? Late 20? Oh, no." But they go through a process of surrendering marriage. Guys, we get more expensive as we get older. And at a certain point, then you start getting cheaper. So, but anyway, she was 33, so she kind of went through that process of surrendering marriage. And she surrendered marriage. God provided for her. And not only her, I told you about 4 or 5 girls over there. Each one of them got hooked up. Very well, actually. One went out as a missionary, one with a navigator, another with the navigator staff. And so they are all serving the Lord very well. And they all got married about between like 30 and 34. Yeah. But they were waiting. They were waiting for the godly man God had in store for them. Oh, this is turning out to be a marriage kind of a message here. Finding my lifetime mate. Can God do it? God knows where she is, where he is. Well, how can we experience Jesus as the faithful, miraculous provider? Here's a couple of points. Take on Jesus' heart. Here, why was the provision needed? To pay for the tax. Jesus said, actually, we don't have to pay, but let's just pay so that we don't cause trouble in society. So Jesus's heart was to keep peace. Really, the Son of the Father does not need to pay. Let's pay. So Peter and Jesus, they had the same heart to pay the tax. So you should pay your taxes. You know, when you get a paycheck, you should pay your taxes. Whatever expected of you, let the Caesar have what belongs to him. The coin has Caesar's image on it. Let the Caesar have his thing. So Jesus was doing something of integrity. So when we do want a provision, hopefully it'll be for a righteous reason, not selfish reason. Is it a righteous reason? When we want the provision, is it a righteous reason? You want a godly wife or godly husband? What is the reason for? Do you just want a good deal? Or do you really want to serve God? Take on Jesus's heart of integrity. So hopefully what you want and what you need is for a integrous, righteous reason. Then God will provide. But if it's for a selfish reason, not sure. So in order to experience Jesus in his faithful and miraculous provision, we want to have Jesus's heart that is righteous and integrous. Right motivation. Secondly, we need to pass Jesus' test of faith. We need to pass Jesus' test of faith. He tests the disciples feeding the 5,000. He tested Peter in this one. What, Jesus? You want me to go to the sea and throw in a line and find a coin from there? Well, even if there's a coin, it's one of 1,000. Jesus, I don't think that's the best way to use my time. Peter could have been objecting Jesus' command. Sometimes you get an instruction from a leader. It might not make sense. The leader says, go do it. Trusting that, you know, in order to do it, you need to trust that a leader knows what he's doing. He must have a good reason. But at least he's testing our obedience to leader. Even trusting God over the leader. But Jesus is God himself, Messiah. He had no problem trusting Jesus, but still, Jesus is saying something very strange. Throw in a line to a fish, and the first fish will have a coin? That is just hard to accept, even from Jesus. It's like the servants who said, take the scoop of water and take it to the head waiter, when he turned the water into wine. The servants did, and they experienced the miracle. And here, Peter obeyed Jesus, even though it didn't make sense. Throw in the line? Oh, my goodness. But he obeyed, and first fish he caught, he opened the mouth, and there was a fish, or there was a coin. Just trust and obey. When Jesus says something, just trust and obey. And that could come from a leader. What Jesus says could come from him directly from the Bible. Sometimes it could come from a human leader. Trust and obey. When you're trusting a human leader, it's not trusting him so much as God who is above him. So there's a place for us to obey Christ from the Bible when he speaks, but obey Christ through your leadership when he speaks. You know what? I left one point. I only gave you 3 points, right? And then the application. I forgot the fourth point. Fourth point is he redeems what we know and have been trained in. Fourth point is Jesus redeems what we know and have been trained in. Jesus told Peter to go catch fish. What would that be? You know, that would make sense because Peter was a fisherman. Peter knows how to make a hook and throw in a line. So Jesus used what Peter knew for his miracle. Jesus used what Peter knew to accomplish a miracle. Sometimes God will use what you know, what you're trained in, to accomplish his miracle. Even something you knew before you were a believer. One time I asked God, if you knew I was going to be an evangelist and a preacher, pastor, why did you make me suffer through electrical engineer until master's program It was painful. Ethan, are you an electrical engineer? Was it easy to go through master's electrical engineer? It was harder than undergraduate, right? Oh, wait, it was really, it took me like, they give you a homework with just two problems. It took me a week to review my math. And then it took me another week to figure out the problem. What is the problem? You know, you gotta, before you solve the problem, you gotta figure out what the problem is. You gotta research until you can figure out the problem. So I barely finished my master's with a 3.1. You need 3.0 to graduate. Woo! I had 3.1 to graduate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I said, God, why did you make me suffer through undergraduate electrical engineering and graduate engineering? And I'm not even using it. Well, as I was praying, Jesus reminded me, what did you learn in electrical engineering? Problem-solving ability. Problem-solving ability. And what are you using in the ministry? Problem-solving ability. When we had VSET, organizing and executing, oh, there was a lot of problems. Especially on the field when something, even if you plan it, it always goes wrong. So then you have to solve the problem. What? Where do we buy the ticket? We lose the ticket, what do we do? You know, it's like, and I realized even to do God's work, I needed to use some degree of problem-solving ability. It's not all, human being is not problem-solving. So Holy Spirit work. But in organizing missions, campus ministry, even discipling people, there needed to be some organizing. So God said, well, I trained you in problem-solving ability. And I want to use that for my glory. So the fourth point is he redeems what we know and what we have been trained in. So even all the things you have an ability in before you believed, it will not be a waste if you make it available for Jesus. Juan likes astrophysics. He likes the space. Hey, who knows how God's going to use that? He may be teaching children what space is all about. But most importantly, you're using that knowledge to praise God. Hey, that was my first passion. Astronomy was my first passion. But you know what my dad said? You're going to star, kid. And that was my junior high school passion. Being an astronomer. But, you know, okay, Dad, all right. I'll be an aerospace engineer. And then I went from there to electrical engineer. So the fourth point is he does provide for us in a faithful and miraculous way. But we need to believe what? Number one, he has a perfect plan of provision that we do not even know about. He knows. He sovereignly knows what I need and where it is. He has a plan and he knows where that's going to be. Even that fish with the coin. He knows. So that's how much he knows. Third point, he's sovereignly able to bring that to me. If I have Christ's heart, there's a condition. I need to have Christ's heart and pass the test of faith. And fourthly, he redeems what we know and have been trained in. He had Peter go fishing. And even Peter was beyond, this was beyond him. I don't think he ever caught a fish with a coin in his mouth. This would have been a first. And it caused him doubt, but he obeyed. But he used his ability as a fisherman. So again, to experience him, take on Jesus's heart, Jesus' heart of integrity and righteousness. Secondly, we need to pass Jesus' test of faith. Just trust and obey. So if you need some provision right now, you might need to also ask, what should be my motivation? Do I have an integrous and righteous motivation? Secondly, what is Jesus telling me to obey? This is something we can reflect on. And when Peter did pass both tests, he was able to experience a coin in a fish's mouth to give the tax collector 4 drachma tax. 4 drachma. Yep, 4 drachmas, which is a talent. So I know that some of us, or all of us, have some provisional need. It could be your need for a job, need for passing the test, or even hope for a lifetime partner. Something for your family, even. This is something we could ponder about. And let's pray for a miracle. You know, he does that once in a while, but let's pray for a miracle that God could provide. Amazing provision, miraculously. Who knows? Maybe God will bless Hanson with 100% tile. That's a miracle. Is it a miracle or is it very possible? It's a miracle. Who knows? Let's not dilly-dally with 90%. Let's pray for 100% for Hanson. If that happens, we know it's God. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word and your faithfulness to demonstrate for us how you love us to provide for us faithfully and miraculously. But Lord, you also give us a condition to take on your heart and to pass the test of faith. So would you, Lord, examine our lives and our hearts, whether we are approaching this with first seeking your kingdom and your righteousness first, to experience all these things to be added unto us. In the name of Jesus, amen.